It's Friday, July 11th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey everyone, thank goodness it's Friday. I got a great show for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. I want to welcome all of you to the show. It's been a great week here. It really, really has. And I got a lot to talk about today. But first of all, I want to welcome all of the new listeners to the show. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast via the podcast link on the website. You want to sign up for our newsletter as well, because that's where all the juicy stuff really gets sent. It's basically newsletter twice a week following the show. I send out all of the links of all the content that I covered during the show, and then all of the links that are provided by listeners of the show. So it's a smorgasbord of tech news information, cool links, information. Definitely sign up to it that way as you listen to the show, wherever you may listen to it, via either on your computer or on your iPod or on your Creative Zen or your Zune, or just, you know, wherever you listen to the show. You can always go back to the show notes and it'll be right there in your inbox, and you'll be able to go to the links to the specific articles that I have talked about. So, hey, that's the kind of the link to get good information about the show as well. And I send out special announcements from time to time on that. Of course, all of the HANA. Hey, I want to thank you all for staying subscribed and being part of the family here. And for those of you that are new, just hang out a few shows and you'll earn the dubious title of being part of the Ohana as well. No, actually, all of you are welcome. And, you know, really, you know, I guess I don't state this enough, but really, all of you make what I do here really easy. You really do. It motivates me to get the show together and put everything in, you know, get everything organized and set up. You know, it's a big job doing the show twice a week, and but it's my pleasure to bring it to you, and you guys all and gals all make it very worthwhile, the great feedback you give me. But I tell you, I got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, a lot of great tech news, and a little bit of feedback as well from some folks, and I definitely wanted to let you know some things that are going on. You guys are going to kind of get a pre-announcement. You guys are going to get some more juicy stuff tonight. This is kind of the place I've been doing this lately, and getting good feedback on it. But first of all, the awareness campaign. If you're telling people to listen to the show, it's working, because I'm starting to get emails from new listeners saying, hey, Todd, I was told by listener so-and-so to come over and check out your show. I've checked it out. I like the content. I'm going to hang out and check the show out for a while. So keep those coming in, because next week we're going to give a cash prize away to the person who has recommended the most number of people to the show that have actually emailed me and let me know that they were recommended to the podcast. As well, I'm starting to get feedback as well from people that are actually putting up blog posts. So that promotion is going all the way through the end of the month. Again, it's the awareness campaign we're having for July. And all of you are helping me grow this show and grow awareness of the Geek News Central podcast. Well, I've got an exciting thing to tell you about what's going on with my mom. Now, you know, all of you that are on broadband, do you remember back to the days when you were on dial-up? Well, she's been on dial-up for years, and there's really been no other alternative. So when I talked to her two nights ago, she's actually getting ready to go to the Bahamas. She's going to the Bahamas next week with my sister and my my niece, who was actually in the accident with my dad 2 years ago. And they're going to be going to swim with the dolphins down in Bahamas. So she's going to go down for that. But when she gets back, some installers are coming to her house, and she's getting broadband. And I'm like cheering. Now, what she's getting is it's wireless. So they actually, now it isn't a done deal yet, but we think she's within range of the tower. It's a wireless service that in Michigan, each county, and every state's different, but in Michigan, each county has townships. And in her township, township approved a wireless company to come in to put up a tower, and where the township office is about a mile as the crow flies from her home. And we think she's going to be in, you know, really good range. So they had sent her a newsletter saying, hey, this is available. It's up. It's been up since a certain date. And we're like, wow, how come they didn't send out a flyer sooner? So they're going to be coming. So I'm really excited. Now, even if she only gets like kind of the connection like you'd get with Clearwire, where you get a couple megs down and, you know, 300K up, it's still better than dial-up. So I'm really, really excited. And she's excited, too. So we'll see what happens with her getting that service. I'm actually going to be going out and seeing her at the end of this month. So hopefully they've already got it installed and I'll be able to kind of troubleshoot it. I'm going out to be flying out of Hawaii on the 25th of July. And then I'm going to be in the Michigan-Indiana area the following week. So maybe having a little bit of a podcaster meetup. Maybe sometime during the week of the 28th in Indiana. So I'll let everybody know about that as we get closer to that date. Also, I just wanted to let you all know that, you know, some of the things we've been doing at Raw Voice has been a real challenge. It's been, we're a team that never took venture capital. We've built this thing. We bootstrapped it from the start. We've worked very hard to bring sponsors on. And we have huge, huge, huge numbers of podcasters that are on advertising buys right now. I think I would put chips down saying that we have the most number of podcasters on advertising buys and have had on continuous advertising buys for 3 years. So we've always had in our business plan that we would be much more than just a company that would do advertising. And one of the exciting things that we've worked towards is having a great publishing system. So in other words, podcasters that maybe have their own hosting somewhere or have a website somewhere, and they're still having challenges with hosting a podcast, we're making it available. So we've got a publishing system, and that's being released. And also we've got publishing with hosting that's being released as well. Those are available. Actually, if you go to – now, the reason I was delayed – not delayed, but the reason I was waiting to make an announcement on the blog that I haven't yet is Angela was supposed to drop some HTML into the shopping cart. I think he just ran out of time tonight before he crashed, but – we've got a shopping cart up at secure.blueberry.com and also secure.rawvoice.com. Now, the one at secure.rawvoice.com is only for stats, but those people that are looking to podcast with us, you can come in and sign up now. We can get you started with hosting. We can get you started with publishing and all of our great tools. And I'm really, really excited about the service level offerings that we're making because we've made it so that we've built this thing from the ground up knowing what we would want, and we've made it so that no matter what you're doing, you can use our system. And the beauty of it is we've got some free offerings as well, and I think it's important for everyone to understand that we're building tool sets, you know, the stats, the all of the promotion tools, the newsletter capability, all this stuff that we put into the system was built from the ground up to really make it easy for podcasters. And all they have to do is really focus on the content. You know, we want people just to go out and record an MP3 file, be done with it. And then from there, just go into the website, put a title in, put a description in, some keywords, upload the file at the same time, get all done and hit publish and be done. Because what we do is we take the file in, we write the ID3 tags, we drop the album art in, we rename the file. This show has been published with our publisher for 2 or 3 months now. I haven't even used the interface of Movable Type to do it. It's all done remotely. And just because I like using the service, and it pushes it off to the hosting place I want, and it really, really works. So we hope that people will consider us. And while we may not be the cheapest game in town, cheap is not always good, in all honesty. But I think we're reasonable enough, and the tool sets are significant enough that people will have an enjoyable experience hosting with us and actually putting the shows up and being a part of the community, and then, you know, putting a domain name up on their own and, you know, basically growing as their show grows. So look forward to that. Again, secure.blueberry.com. That'll get you into the shopping cart. Again, if you get in there before some of the descriptions have been dropped in, that's an apology on my part. And if you want to wait until they're in there so you can get a little more info, that's fine. But that is available. It's up online, and we'll be making some other major announcements on the website as well in the probably early next week. Okay, what else have I got here? The on-the-road intro, still getting submissions. And I'm just going to kind of continue to let that boil a little bit here, and we'll see what more we get. So if you're looking to put together a intro for us, an on-the-road intro, feel free to submit it to geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll take that into consideration and play it on the show. And then, of course, if you've got comments on the show again tonight, and call in at 619-342-7365. That's our voicemail hotline where you can rant, talk about subjects that you want to talk about. Keep them to a couple of minutes. That way we'll have enough time to get everyone's comments and, of course, emails in at the end of the show. Of course, emails can, again, be sent to geeknews@gmail.com. All right, let's go ahead and move on here. I've got, on Saturday, we're having our next Tech Podcast Roundtable. And if you know, we have one of these every month. And this month is, wow, we got a great lineup. And if you get over techpodcast.com, just click on the blog link. That'll give you the info. Or if you're on Geek News Central, I've got the posting up there as well. But tomorrow, Saturday, July 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, the team over at Tech Podcast is going to have a special Tech Podcast Roundtable. Number one, I'm going to be introducing GoToMeeting version 4. Plus, we have two terrific speakers. The presenters will be John Coonan. He's the head of the Joomla Chicago Users Group and founder of the Joomla Trade Show. He'll be a guest to talk about Joomla. We also got Dan Gephardt. He's a lead developer for LiveTimer.com. He's going to be talking about a great product and productivity tool at LiveTimer.com. And, of course, I'll be, presenting on the new features of GoToMeeting version 4. And all you have to do, really, to participate is click on the link that we've provided. It'll load GoToMeeting automatically, and you'll be able to get in on the session. And, really, the easiest online meeting service, GoToMeeting, really, has just gotten easier. If you haven't tried GoToMeeting, now's the time, because the new version of GoToMeeting has fully integrated voice over IP. With this new total audio feature, you have more audio options by being able to conference through a phone or the web. Save time, save money, and be more efficient. Hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here. And I'll be honest with you, they've really been pleased with all the actions by you folks going out and doing trials. If you're a Mac user, this is the time to go try GoToMeeting. It's really awesome. Come out and hang out with us Saturday, and you'll be able to see us demonstrate the full power of this thing. Okay, what else have I got here? Of course. Hey, GoDaddy.com. If you're looking for domain names, shared hosting accounts, virtual dedicated servers, dedicated boxes, you name it, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names really are cheap and expensive, and why buy one? Just buy, multiples. And if you're looking to get a presence on the World Wide Web and launch your own blog, GoDaddy.com makes it real easy for you to do that. And when you get over to the checkout counter, don't forget to use that promo code TODD. That'll save yourself 10% on orders. And then if you use Geek5, it'll save you 15% on orders, $20 or more. ComSale, $6.99 domain names. Todd20 will get you 20% off on 1 year shared hosting accounts. So really, you can't beat those deals. And thanks for your support of GoDaddy.com. Okay, let me go ahead and flip through things here on Geek News Central. There's a couple of quick things I want to talk about. If you've been reading the website, you'll know that I pulled a trigger on the TriCaster broadcast. And, this is something I've wanted for a very long time. It's a huge, huge investment. And I'm probably going to be doing some fundraisers of some sort. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do this to help me pay for this thing. Because I'm going to be using it for the Podcast Awards ceremony that we're going to do live. And I've got several events. It's just something that's going to work out really, really well. So if you aren't familiar with a TriCaster, we're going to be having some live events. And you get to see this baby in action here probably in a couple weeks. It's on the way. I expect to get it within the next couple of days. I got to order some cables and then do some practice runs. But this is a box that is really a studio, a broadcast studio, in a 16-pound box, and it's very, very powerful. And I want to thank I worked with a dealer, in a local dealer, who was able to get me this box at a significant discount. It's a used box; it's not brand new. So that really helped in getting the price down as well. So I appreciate him working with me. I'll talk a little bit more about him on a later show. Of course, if you're coming out to Las Vegas, we look forward to seeing you guys out at Podcast Expo. And, of course, coming out to the Coverville 500 at the New Media Expo. Okay, what else have I got here? I think that's it on just general crap that I wanted to talk about on the show. Make sure you're reading Geek News Central. The contributing writers over there are doing a lot of great articles. And I'm actually going to be – I actually had gotten a couple of emails from a couple of people that wanted to contribute, and I'll actually be in contact with you folks soon. I'm going to add some more people to the – essentially to the rosters of contributors over there. Hey, one thing I want to talk about I normally do this at the end of the show, but I got an email from Stacy. And Stacy wrote a very nice review about Geek News Central, and I just wanted to, you know, kind of talk to Stacy directly here. She she works within the broadband internet space, and she's not real happy with me over talking about data limits. And I'm going to kind of read what she has to say in her post here. She says, she's a great review, but she says, one opinion in particular kind of gets me going a bit. I work for the cable company. Data limits are part of doing business. Todd is of the opinion that the internet should be uncapped and everyone should be able to download what they want, no matter how much they download. And she goes on to say, the unfortunate side effect of having a customer on the node downloading over 500 gigs a month is that the other customers on the node are affected by the poor service, slow speeds, drop packets, and a bad experience. How is it fair that the rest of the neighborhood needs to suffer from one person's usage? In this instance, Todd and I will continue to disagree. Stacy, thank you for writing the article. And, of course, there's more here. She said some nice things. I'll have a link up to it in the show notes tonight. But, you know, I've got five people in this house, and we're all on the computer. My wife is watching Japanese TV over the internet. My kids are playing games in virtual worlds that I approve of. They are surfing the internet on sites that I approve of. My youngest son goes to Discovery and different sites and watches videos there. We use a lot of bandwidth. We are a normal American family using internet. We use a lot of bandwidth. I bet you we use a lot more than 500 gigs a month. Ever since I signed up for my internet service, the cable providers have always advertised unlimited bandwidth. No caps, unlimited bandwidth. Unlimited bandwidth, it's been poked in our face years and years and years and years. They still advertise here unlimited bandwidth. So how can all of a sudden there be this change of face? And companies start to say, oh, you're using too much. The problem is, and this is what it boils down to, is the United States is falling behind on having good service, having speedy internet, and it's because the cable companies have failed to invest in their infrastructure and get the cable speeds up faster. My cable speed today is as fast as it was 10 years ago and no faster. Other people in the rest of the world have continued to move on. We live in a video world. Stuff is online and video. Video is a lot of bandwidth. So to tell me that I have to curb my internet appetite because the internet service provider hasn't been able to invest in his infrastructure is really way, way out. I pay a lot of money for my internet service. I pay for extra IPs on my service. I am legal. I legally have more computers paid for on my plan. And yet, there's this assumption out there that if I use more than 500 gigs, I'm doing something illegal. And I think that's where the problem lies and where it really rubs me wrong is that it should not be the business of the internet provider to be snooping and looking at packets to see what I'm downloading. That's my personal business. And it's also the personal business. That's my neighbor's personal business. Whatever he does in it is his business and his business alone. The companies are paid to provide a service. And in a monopoly that I live in a monopoly, I have no other choice here for broadband service. It's not like I can go to a competitor because the cable company here has tied everyone's hands and it's forced, and there's no competition. Now, I know some people have choices, okay, but a lot of us don't. You know, you look at my mom, she's finally getting broadband. What year are we in? We're in 2008. So I don't believe that a single user using over 500 gigs a month is making a bad experience for a neighborhood. I think what that is I think that's a cable provider that has not invested enough in his infrastructure and put in more nodes to handle what is really being consumed today. We know already that with high-def TV, you're already in a bandwidth crunch because high-def takes up a lot of bandwidth. It takes up astronomical amounts of bandwidth, much more than all the internet service the people on the internet are going to, I mean, all of the internet customers combined. You take in lump, you know, I think we're up to like 35 or 40 high def channels. If every person in my neighborhood was to be running a different high def channel at the same time, I'm sure the service would suffer as well. So, you know, you guys are already chopping blocks and making it to so that the high def experience really isn't high def. So there's two sides to the story of this. You know, and I think what it is, I think the cable providers have finally said, you know, oh, people are surfing the internet a lot and they're not watching very much TV. I think they're trying to keep their monopoly on people, and the margins are much, much higher, obviously, on television program than on internet service. So this is my opinion. I know that you don't agree with me, but I really think that in this day and age, with the video generation that we're in, kids are on video. Kids are playing games online. The genie is out of the bottle. There's no way that they are going to go backwards. Okay? They won't. They just won't. What did my daughter do when some kids come over? They're watching YouTube videos. They were in a room where I could watch what they were watching. And they were all gathered around yakking about them. Okay? So, you know, are they going to stop because I tell them, hey, we don't have enough bandwidth? Because the internet, they're going to be mad. So, I don't know. I'll leave it at that. But, you know, I'm passionate about this bandwidth capping that Time Warner's thinking about doing. So, please, call 619-342-7365. Let me know why I'm wrong. I'll keep you anonymous if you want to be. And, all right, you know, just, you know, what? Tell me what you think. Why am I wrong? Why am I wrong? Did you guys hear about Mevio? That's Podshow. Can you believe they got another, like, I don't know, like $18 million or something? I'm thinking to myself, for what? What are they doing? Is anyone going to their site? I just can't believe it. I really can't. Oh, they say they might be profitable this quarter or this year. Sorry, we're profitable. Raw Voice is in the black. We may not be as big, but we didn't spend $38 or $40 million to do it. If we had it, we'd had a product to show for it. Okay, the Mark Cuban web blog. Free is only good if someone else is paying for it. I think we all kind of live in that atmosphere a little bit, don't we? And the article that he has written up, I don't really want to go into it too much. I'll let you guys look at it if you want to. But isn't it true? We all want something for free. And, you know, this is kind of the thing that I've been thinking about with the service we've been rolling out at Raw Voice. There's other companies out there that offer free service. But, you know, how can you build a business on free? I'm of the opinion that we can't. And I don't have venture capital dollars, millions and millions of dollars to put into a sinking, you know, flushing money down the toilet. I don't believe in that. So hopefully people will pay for our service And if they don't, then we know that we've lost. But I think this is very good. This is a statement that in essence kind of scares me a little bit, because it really sums up what the internet's all about. You know, everyone wants to give everything away for free, and people think that's the way the internet should work. And I think that Mark's onto something a little bit here. And although everything for him is a marketing, he's always looking at turning dollars. And, you know, to stay in business these days, you have to. If you don't turn dollars, then the lights go out. That's for sure. Over at Doug K's weblog, Blogarithms, he's been having a problem with PayPal. And boy, I tell you, we've all become very, very reliant on PayPal. And Doug, I don't know what to tell you on alternatives. I guess the only alternatives is to, you know, really go back into an old school way of doing business and just writing checks. And but no one writes checks anymore. How long has it been since anyone wrote a check? And I very rarely do I run into somebody that doesn't have a PayPal account. Once in a while I do. I've had some people that have won stuff on the show that haven't had PayPal accounts. But they're using to receive membership dues and donations and distribute payments, but they've had some troubles when they've added a second PayPal account just to kind of speed the process up a little bit. But anyway, if you're having problems with PayPal, I'd love to hear what kind of issues you're having. So far, so good for us. Now, of course, the big thing tomorrow, or today, iPhone version 2, or iPhone 3G is being released. And of course, the mania in the weblogs are just off the chart. And I've almost been hesitant to even say anything about it, because I think we're all about iPhoned out and ready to quite literally puke because of all the coverage. But I did find this very comical. The iPhone 3G activation process. Now, if any of you are buying the iPhone, I want you, or have bought the new iPhone, I want you to call and tell me about your experience, because they've got a procedure. They want you to enjoy the phone. So what they do, and they've got instructions. You open the packaging for them in a certain way. You take the lid off in a certain way. And then you're supposed to take the phone and hand it to them and let them massage it a little bit. And essentially, they want people to bond with their phone. They want this to be experienced. Then you ask the customer to give it back and you go through and unlock. Can you believe this? They want you to, you know, to bond with your iPhone before they activate it. Yeah, did you know that the new iPhone software has already been jailbroke? I'll have a link up to that in the show notes. So they've already figured out a way to jailbreak it. So you're going to be able to run all those cool apps that are available outside of the iTunes App Store, which as well launched today. So it's been basically iPhone mania, and it's probably going to continue for a while. I'm not going to buy a new version of the iPhone. And actually, a guy I know, I ran into him today, and he says, Todd, look, and he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a iPhone, and I said, is that the new one? He says, no, he said, I just bought this. This is a version one. I bought it from a gal locally, and he turned it on, and he had the T-Mobile sign on it. I said, oh, you're not going to get the new one? He said, no, I'm just going to stick with this. And so he's got a jailbroke iPhone version 1 that he just bought, and he's running T-Mobile on it and happy as a clam. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And I'm hearing that the original iPhones are actually selling very good on Craigslist, partly because people don't want to be locked into into AT&T's ridiculous pricing plan. And I'll be honest, I've had a good experience even on T-Mobile Edge. You know, it's not as fast as being on 3G, obviously, but I primarily use my phone to SMS. I do a little bit of using Safari on it, and I go to Twitter and different sites, and I do certain searches with it, and that seems to work out good, or trying to find directions someplace to save my butt a few times. And I'm willing to let it be a little slower with that experience and not have to pay the huge money that AT&T is expecting everyone to break out their wallet and pay to them for the next 2 years. So we'll have to see what happens tomorrow, or actually today. See, I'm recording this show Thursday night, so I'm always Got to get my mind in the mindset that you're all going to listen to this Friday. But the we'll see what happens with the iPhone mania. We'll see how well the AT&T network holds up. But, you know, again, the rumors are that T-Mobile's coming with 3G in October. And if they do, then maybe I'll buy the next version and I'll put another T-Mobile chip in it. Oh, it'll be fun, won't it? And be able to thumb my nose at the good folks at AT&T. All right, over at the Consumerist. Now, this is a site that I read on, I have in my daily read list. And every once in a while, they come up with some really good stuff. And this is not really necessarily techie, but there's 10 things you might not know about your credit card. So if you use your credit card a lot, like I do, actually, I use my ShareCheck card a lot. You may want to check this article out. It gives you some, talks about some of the rules and some of the things that companies can and cannot do. Okay, Senate rejects amendment. Well, I've gotten some emails from all of you, and I, you know, I've been kind of, I've had a hard time with this particular issue. And I know many of you are not at all happy with this, but again, I know some of you may not have as much of an issue. And, you know, I'm torn because I am, I'm big on personal rights. I'm big on privacy. Obviously, I support free speech and open communications. So when this telecom amnesty bill has been, you know, basically going through the Senate, which has been approved, you know, this is kind of ironic, too, because the Democratic-controlled Senate voted against removing retroactive immunity for law-breaking telephone companies. This is what the article on Wired says. And I don't know if they're law-breaking, because if they've been asked by subpoena or some sort of, you know, special a terrorism rule or whatever they use to make this happen, I don't know if I want to call the telecom telecommunication companies lawbreakers. But anyway, obviously the telephone companies have worked with the government to try to, you know, in this essence, you know, kind of watch these people that are probably sending money and involved in activities that could be harmful to you, I, my children. You know, it's a hard thing. You know, obviously, we don't like the idea of someone tapping our phone. It's not, it's something that's unnerving. But generally, if you're having your phone tapped, it's because you're doing something that the government thinks that you're doing is illegal and gathering evidence on you. So I don't know if we have that much to worry. And I'm sure I'm going to get some voicemails on this. And actually, I'd like to hear what you guys think about this. But, you know, being you know, in the kind of in the, I guess the best way to say it is having been in the military for as many years as I had, you know, I think I understand why it's important that we have the ability to protect ourselves. And, I surely don't want something to happen to anyone in this country because something that was missed. But at the same time, we have to, you know, have to weigh this this privacy stuff. I'm almost willing to give a little on this one. And it's much as it kind of tears at my heart a little bit, it's something that it's almost like a, you hate it, but you almost have to have it. And I don't know, where do you guys fall down on this? I know some of you are probably very adamantly against it. I go back and forth. I really, really do. But obviously, this has been passed, and the president signed it. So it is what it is. And but it's very interesting that as much as the Democratic Congress and in House have, you know, said they're going to change things, how little they actually have. And this is kind of interesting that this made it through. With them controlling it, it really is interesting. Okay, so let me go ahead and move on here. But there is, those of you that are down in Australia, actually I got an email on this. Wait till you see. Oh my, you know, I thought AT&T was expensive. I'm sorry, those of you that are down in Australia that listened to the show, your iPhone pricing is, oh my goodness. The you're limited. $35 monthly package, you get 5 megs. Wow, a whopping 5 megs of data. You know how much data I used today on my 3G data wireless card? I used 85 megs today. Just today on my 3G wireless card. And that was in about 5 hours. And they want to give you 5 megs? Oh my goodness. And they're going to charge you $279 for the phone, Australian. Simply amazing. Simply amazing. It really is. So anyway, I'll let you look at the packages on this, but I guess we don't have too much to complain about. A little more news on Dell and them allegedly colluding with the RIAA. A little bit more information on this, and it appears that you can call Dell and shell out another $99 to get some sort of a driver to get the stereo mix option turned back on his Dell machine. So, again, this is a this is not something that has been proven outright, but something that people think is actually going on. They think that Dell has acquiesced to the RIAA a little bit and have, eliminated this particular feature on some of their machines. It's pretty amazing, and I hope that Dell has not really done this, to be honest with you. I really hope they haven't. Recently, I've been having some troubles. Every time I forward an email, I get people telling me, hey, Todd, it either went into my spam folder or I didn't get it. And it usually happens when I forward an email when I'm on my Sprint PCS. If I send an email, it's not an issue, but usually when I forward. But there's a good article in Slashdot, it's really techie, that talks about domain name keys and that Google is implementing, and may actually explain what's going on. So if you're having emails going MIA that you're forwarding, you may want to take a look at the Slashdot article and see if there's anything you can do about it, or maybe contact your service provider to complain. Over on the tech front, Seagate has announced that they're going to be introducing a hard drive that has 1.5 terabytes of capacity. So this is amazing. It's a half a terabyte, 1.5 terabyte desktop, and they're also going to be introducing a half terabyte notebook hard drive. 1.5 terabytes in a single drive. When can I get one? You know, up to this point, you know, most of the companies have, been at really the 1 terabyte level. But they're not saying here it's going to be a Barracuda 7200.11. It's going to be available in 1.5 terabyte capacity starting in August. The 3.5-inch drive is made up of 4 375-gig platters and has, of course, a 7200 RPM. It has a 3 gigabit per second SATA interface, and 1.5 gigs per second use a native command sequencing, native command queuing, excuse me. And Seagate also claims that the new 1.5 terabyte drive supports a sustained data rate of up to 120 megabytes per second. So this is a pretty quick drive considering its size. 1.5 terabytes. Just to, you know, what do you do? You load that thing up, and then do you need a second one to back it all up? You know, remember the days when we used to back up by tape? I remember backing up 250 gigs of data on tape, and it would take like 3 hours, and I was happy. The machine wouldn't do anything else for 3 hours, but that tape would go ring, 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 ring. You guys remember that? If you're getting any emails that say Third World War has begun, or 20,000 U.S. soldiers in Iran, or U.S. Army crossed Iran's borders and have been intercepted, don't open them. Delete them. These are spammers are sending some very nasty emails with payloads in them, with those types of taglines. So be aware of that. Don't open those up. I found a cool article over on O'Reilly at O'Reilly.com. It's the software behind the Mars Phoenix lander. It's a fascinating, fascinating interview. If you're, of course, if you're a geeky guy, you know, or a gal, you're going to love this. But they have a interview with, what is this guy's name? He's the project software manager. His name's Peter. What's his first name? Oh, gosh, isn't this terrible? They don't list his first and last name. But anyway, the lead developer there, he goes through and gives a huge, long interview that talks about what has went into the Phoenix Lander, some of the challenges, the actual architecture that they're using, the type of code they're using, how they have to sequence stuff, all cool stuff. So definitely check this article out over at O'Reilly.com. Link will be up in the show notes. Okay, Engadget's running an article, and actually, I don't know if I covered this on the last show. If I did, I apologize. And I think I did, but I wanted to cover it because I've actually got one of these video cards. If you're running an NVIDIA 8400M or 8600M chip on a video card, it appears that there is a major issue with those, and they're failing long before they should. And if you have one of these cards fail, you'll definitely want to talk to NVIDIA and get a replacement. They know there's an issue. They're burning out sooner than they should. And I guess it's a pretty big problem. They're already predicting $250 million impact here. So a lot of these are involved in laptops. So a lot of these chips are actually in laptops. So you may not be able to, you know, preemptive replace it. You just may have to cross your fingers. Okay, Belkin has unveiled Go Studio iPod recording dock. And as I look at this thing, it's pretty cool little device. It's $119. It's really, it looks to me like it was designed by someone that is in the a tech equipment space. In other words, it kind of, you know, seen those meters you buy that are voltmeters or ohmmeters? It's kind of got that kind of a look, but you plug your iPod into it, and you can, or an iPhone, I think, as well. It's just only an iPod 5G, 2G, and a 3G Nano can be dropped into this thing, and you can record it 16-bit at 41.1 kilohertz audio directly from the built-in stereo mics or into an XLR, would be an XLR mic. So this is kind of cool. This is a nice little device, and for $119, you got an iPod, you'll have a podcast recorder that will work on the go. As long as we're talking about Belkin, we might as well talk about another device that they have released today. It's called the Flywire. Now, this is not a cheap device. The Flywire AV69003 retails at $999, and it's meant for a whole home solution with an IR back channel. It's capable of doing 1080p without wires. So it comes with a remote. It comes with the box, and then it comes with a receiver. So pretty cool here. You don't have to run wires to a TV to be able to transmit some 1080p. And you can do multiple inputs to this thing. So it's going to be in stores in October, but not cheap. Not cheap at all. I think I'll wait. All right. How many of you remember Windows 3.11? I almost shudder to remember Windows 3.11. Let's go back and let me think about when was the last time I had a machine that was on Windows 3.11. Actually, I had what was the model? You guys will get a kick out of this. It was a Panasonic? No, it wasn't a Panasonic. It was I bought a laptop in 1994. That cost me, I think, $1,200. It had a, believe it or not, I think a 386 chip in it, and it run Windows 3.11, and I had an external modem for it, or actually PCMCIA modem, and it had a monochrome screen. That's the last time I used Windows 3.11, and I didn't have that thing very long before it matter of fact, I wonder if it's still around here somewhere. Maybe I gave it away to someone. I don't remember. But anyway, the reason I'm talking about this is Windows 3.11 is going to sing its last MIDI song on November 8th, 2008. You say, huh? Who's using Windows 3.11? Well, the secret to 3.11's 15-year lifespan has been in the embedded space. It's been used to provide a platform for countless low-power cash registers. It displays train schedules. It does monitor displays. You know, just some real cheesy stuff that they were using with it. But, you know, I broke my teeth on the internet in version in Windows 3.11. How many of you listening to the show even had Windows 3.11 or even seen it? If you've never seen Windows 3.11, you have to take a link to the look at the link in the show notes, because it'll show you how far we've come. How many of you, well, Paintbrush hasn't come very far in that time either. Neither is Write, neither is Notepad. I use Notepad every day. How many of you guys still use Notepad? How many of you still play Solitaire? I bet you many of you do. How about Hearts? How many of you still play Hearts? Remember the old Telnet application? How about Netscape Navigator that was on Windows 3.11? Oh, yeah, I bet you some of you remember that. How about this? Acrobat Reader 3.01. Yes, it's been a long time, hasn't it? So, anyway, I thought I would share that with you, and I think hopefully we'll get some response on what you all have. Any of you still running the 3.11 machine? Okay, a little bit of information on MobileMe. It's getting some good reviews, and primarily it's because those that aren't, you know, iPhone users that have not had the ability to have their email pushed to them like BlackBerry users do, they're pretty excited. They're saying this is the this iPhone MobileMe is going to kill the BlackBerry because of its ability to push email. I don't know. I'm not gonna write BlackBerry off so fast. The folks over Apple are getting pretty big for their britches, and I think someone will stand up and challenge them if they haven't already. We'll see what happens here. You know, definitely Motorola's not. Have you seen the downfall? Remember Motorola phones used to be the phones to have, and now they're like at 8 or 9% market share. Pretty sad on the Motu line of Motorola phones. Okay, I've got a couple of links here to a bunch of course, it's iPhone Day, really, so I've got iPhone app review for those of you that are getting a 3G, upgrading to 2.0. There's a whole bunch of iPhone app reviews done. Have that linked up. Of course, the App Store is up today as well, so I'd like to hear how much you guys end up spending in the App Store downloading apps to your iPhone. Okay, enough on iPhone. We'll move on here. Space Today is reporting scientists find evidence of water in lunar interior. You're like, huh? How's this possible? Well, you know, back in the Apollo missions when those guys were out there collecting rocks, you know, scientists are still studying those. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised too. Well, what they found is that scientists believe that the lunar interior may have contained as much water, about 750 parts per million, as a pre-eruption magma on Earth. And they, of course, they think the way that the moon was formed was from some sort of a collision with Earth, and a big chunk of Earth ended up, you know, out there in space as the moon. But they think that the moon had evidence, at least by the scientists are saying, had water in its interior at one time. So this is interesting news from the science front. You know, that's amazing. How many years now and they're still studying those rocks? How much science are they getting out of those things? That's just, you know, what would be more boring? I'm sorry. And is there any geologists listening to the show? What would be more boring than studying rocks? I guess if you're a history buff, it might intrigue you. But, you know, I hate rocks. When I was growing up, my grandfather's farm, you know, it seemed like we would get the fields clear of rocks. Now, only a country boy that's listening to the show can appreciate this, because every spring we'd clear the rocks, the big ones at least, from the fields after they had plowed or chiseled or whatever they had done. And you think, oh, I got them all off. But by next spring, somehow, like 1,000 new rocks would be on the surface. And how did these things get up here? Well, they migrate through the tilling of the land. Rocks come to the top. And it used to drive me crazy picking rocks. No, I could never be a geologist. I picked too many rocks when I was a kid and did not get paid for it. It was almost like slave labor. All right, in the UK, a consortium is being A consortium is developing a new in-car navigation system to beat traffic jams. It's called the Congestion Avoidance Dynamic Routing Engine. It's a computer that's going to be embedded in cars. It's basically going to tell you, turn here, you'll avoid traffic. So I think it's great. It'll be great for people that have multiple routes to get home or travel around. Great way to save gas. In Honolulu, you have one choice. Well, two choices, but they both involve sitting in traffic and just being totally upset that you're sitting there burning gas continuously, just sitting in traffic. They have increased the HOV lanes here. They made one HOV lane, HOV3, which is causing definitely a little more traffic on the non-HOV lanes. But most people in Hawaii don't obey the HOV lanes and the HOV2 lanes. You see people with one, as a matter of fact, like 90% of the cars have one person in them, just because the police aren't out enforcing it. I wish they'd be out there taking pictures of these cars and issuing tickets, because those of us that are, obey the law, and when we have enough people in the car to drive an HOV lane, it would be nice, but just doesn't happen too much here. Okay, the ACLU, we knew that this was probably going to happen. They've sued over the new Surveillance Act that was passed right after the president signed it. They went ahead and sued, so we'll see what happens with that in court. Also, TechDirt is reporting on the Homeland Security, and they're reporting on basically their defense and talking about laptop searches at the border. And here's something that is just really pretty eye-opening. There's a guy by the name of James J. Carfano. He's from the Heritage Foundation, and he made a couple of interesting statements about the Homeland Security laptop search debacle. He says the idea that we would create some kind of sanctuary for criminals and terrorists to carry things across the border to me is absolutely ludicrous. He goes on to say later, it is also unrealistic to require probable cause when you think about the millions of people a day who come in and go out of the country. You know, if a terrorist wants to bring something to this country, do you think they're going to come across the border with it at a border crossing? They got to be kidding. If someone wants to bring something illegal across, they're going to cross somewhere, you know, up in Canada, you know, along that big, long border we have where very little, you know, like one INS agent for like every 15 or 20 miles or something ridiculous. You know, I just don't get it. You know, if you and I were walking down the street carrying a laptop, we could not be stopped by law enforcement and arbitrarily have our laptop searched without a search warrant, without our consent. They'd have to get a search warrant to do that. But with going through the border, they need no consent. They don't need a search warrant. They can just search. And I think this is wrong. I really, really do. If they think they've got probable cause on somebody, okay, detain them. Go get a court order and explain why. And then if they don't, if it turns out to be the person's innocent, then they should be compensated. I don't know. What do you guys think about this search at the borders? Are you going to go be across the border with your laptop? Is there anything on there that could land you in the pokey or have your laptop confiscated? I guess a lot of people are getting their stuff compensated. Folks over have written, there's a good article on PR people. And I get a lot of PR emails, and the PR people are getting pretty slick. They say, hey, Todd, hey, I listen to your show and blah, blah, blah. I'd like you to talk about our company. And it makes it all personal. And the thing is, if you are a PR person and you're really listening to this show, then what you need to do, we're here at 53 minutes, you need to say, hey, Todd, I remember you talking about in your podcast at about the 53-minute mark about PR people needing to address you personally and telling you that, you know, if you want to be, if you're saying you're a listener of this show, then you better prove you are by, you know, making some sort of reference to something that's in the show and making it really personal, not some form letter. I get hundreds of PR emails every day, and I delete 99.99% of them. I'll keep a few, but, you know, some PR people think you're obligated to post on their service, you know, just because you have a readership. And this you know, the Geek News Central website has a huge readership. And, you know, I'm not going to just take a PR piece and turn it around and make it a puff piece and put it on the site. It doesn't work that way. It's only, I only write about, and the people that write on this site only write about things that they're interested in. If it comes from a press release, fine. But at the same time, no one's just going to repost stuff. That doesn't work that way. All right. How many remember Julie Amiro? Remember, she's the teacher. She was a substitute teacher in Connecticut who was found guilty of charges that she'd shown porn to children in her classroom. Basically, she had some pop-ups come up while she was on the internet. Well, you know, she got that, basically, it was kind of, she had something happen and the case was dropped initially, or something. She was, in other words, she didn't get put in jail. But it appears, I guess the state did not drop the case. So it appears that the state may be looking to open up and prosecute her again. What is the state thinking about? I thought they adjudicated this already. I just don't get it. Remember, we've talked about her a few times. Yeah, the judge struck down the guilty plea. That's what happened. He struck down the guilty verdict after coming to his senses over this. But the state is still thinking about going after her again. You know, don't they have better things to do? Aren't there real criminals out there? Hey, today's a day in history. You know what happened in 1979? Skylab. Skylab came crashing down. Those of you that were in Australia got a few pieces of Skylab. Matter of fact, a young gal got a piece of Skylab and took it to a radio station in San Francisco and scored herself 10K back in 79. That was some dollars, folks. But anyway, the Skylab, when it was initially launched, was damaged during the launch. And in a few, had a few good years in space and some Apollo capsules, and it was occupied for like 170 some days, but definitely had some issues. But NASA learned a lot about it, but it essentially got into an orbit that NASA couldn't control, and it re-entered the atmosphere uncontrolled, tumbling, and broke up over Australia. So that's a little history for today, today's date, July 11th, 1979. Okay, that's it for our content tonight. We've done pretty good on time here. So let me go ahead and get that minimized, and we'll open up email. I've got a few things to, a few voicemails to play for you. And then I've got a couple of promos to go through. Then I had a resubmission of one of the promos. I'll see how much we get through. And I got a bunch of email to read, so I'll get the new promos played at least, but here comes the first voicemail. Again, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365 is the voicemail number, geeknews@gmail.com. Here we go.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling with from Chicago.
Hey, Tom.
I was commenting on your, I think two shows ago or one show ago about the airlines. You're right, it's just terrible. And it's not going to get any better, unfortunately. And if the airlines go down, it's just not going to be good. So, but I just want to comment real quick. JetBlue, I know they don't fly everywhere, but I flew them once
for the very first time.
I don't fly as much as you do. And it was really neat. If you can somehow try to get on a JetBlue flight, I don't think any of those fly from Hawaii. But they'll fly from, the smaller airports. They got a flight from pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's not the best airline as far as the routes are concerned, but it's a fun airline to fly. They really do a good job. All the snacks are free. The drinks are free, except for the alcoholic stuff. So if you get a chance to fly them, they seem to have their act together as far as what they try to do and stuff. And it's too bad more airlines don't follow suit with that type of business model. Other thing I want to comment on real quick was regarding the PodCamp Ohio presentation you gave on monetizing your podcast. I thought that was very good, very informative. It was fun to listen to you in a presentation type of setting. very passionate, which is great. My question about that is, you gave some great tips on the stuff I'm going to try in my podcast and for monetizing my podcast. But my question to you is, don't you see an increased value at the fact that not only are podcasts delivering media and potential advertising dollars to a specific listener base, but it does that over time? You mentioned that, you know, you should set up your podcast model so you can insert ads into shows that have been put up in the past, But I think the value of the dollar, the value of the advertising or advertiser or the advertising package goes that much further because the podcast is actually archived.
Right.
So anyway, I just want to thank you for all you've done. Again, I've called it a few times. It was humbling to hear you say, you know, talk about the numbers as far as what happens. You get 7 podcasts, you're going to make it to your next one. Well, I've put up 123 podcasts.
Congrats.
I love what I do. I love what I talk about, and I do have the passion for it. So, and as do you in what you do. So appreciate that, and really I couldn't have done it without you. So anyway, that's about it. Stay warm or stay cool, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the great call. And I tell you, those of you that haven't listened to that presentation, it's a good 45 minutes of me really doing what I do best in the podcasting space, is talking about how to help podcasters make money. But here is the answer to your question. If you have a show that has long legs, in other words, people that will listen to the show months and months later, it's good to have new advertising in there after the advertising campaigns have ran out, because most advertising campaigns are signed on quarters. So unless you make a deal where you get paid later on for that, you may not ever get paid for it again past 3 months. So if your podcast has long legs, then you want to put something new in there that you can get paid on at that time. But only about 1 to 2% of podcasts, I think it's actually lower than that, 1 to 2% of podcasts have long legs. This show, 72 to 96 hours, it's done. You know, 97% of the downloads happen within the first 96 hours. So for me to go back and re-put new advertising in the show 3 months from now does not make any sense, because after 3 months, it maybe get 10, 15 downloads a day, but almost nothing, you know. So if you have long legs, absolutely. You need to think about rebuilding your shows just so you can get paid for that. But most shows don't have that kind of long legs. There are a few shows that really, really do, and I actually talk about a few of those shows without revealing their numbers in the actual presentation that I gave. Okay, let's go ahead and listen to the – and anytime, if you want to – if you have questions for me, feel free to drop me a line. I'd be more than happy to give you as much feedback as I can.
Hello, Todd. This is Hamid.
Hey, long time.
There you have it, my friend. You see? That's exactly what I was talking about.
What's
the
that?
Stereo mixing. That's,
oh.
Well, was the only thing that was holding me back on Vista. Now, they say that was, because there are sound cards that will let you use the stereo mixing Vista, and actually yours will, maybe partially. For further details, let me know, because... that will go over the 2 minutes thing, but all I will let you know here is that in your computer right now, if it's still, if you haven't messed with the sound, and I mean like, well, like I said, for further details, let me know and I'll let you know then, because I don't want to go over, but all I'll let you know here is, it may be available, but it's maybe hidden.
Oh.
If you didn't even see it at all.
Well, send me a link.
And if not, if you did see it and it didn't work at all, well, it appears you just have to be lucky for it to work and have the right card with the right driver.
Ah.
And I say this because Rick Harmon, the guy that I told you that runs a podcast that is based on donations,
right?
He finally got it to work for him with a Sound Blaster Audigy 2 card, which is an old card, actually. It's not being made anymore. So
I have one of those.
Just so that you know, it does work. It appears you have to be lucky for it to work. Or, you know, just have the right card.
Yep.
All right, so that's that with that. And I think, yes, that's it. And talk to you later.
All right, Hemi, thanks very much. You know, I've got one of those Sound Audigy 2 cards, so maybe I ought to try that, because my Latitude Dell D830 that I have here, it doesn't have stereo mix. And, you know, this machine's relatively new, running Vista, so, I have to go snooping around. If you have some good links on where to turn people on to find out some more info on that, send me an email with links. Definitely, please. All right, let me go ahead and play. This is a regular podcast promo. Let me go ahead and play this for you. And then I got one intro that I'll play, and then we need to get into the actual emails that have came in.
CS TechCast, information news for IT professionals, brought to you weekly at cstechcast.com.
Wow, that was short. cstechcast.com. He's a member of the Tech Podcast Network. You can find the show over there or over at cstechcast.com. All right, here comes a second intro by Tom over at the Fog View Podcast. So I haven't actually listened to this yet, so we'll see what Tom has put together for the number two intro submission.
The Geek News Central Podcast is taking off. Join your host, Todd Cochran, from the Geek News Mobile Studios as he brings you the latest in tech news on the road. Get ready for Todd.
Hey, Tom, you should have used the classic call sign, you know, strap in. Here it comes. That was good, Tom. That's definitely different. That's good. Okay, lots of good ones. You know what I may end up doing? I may end up just using all of them. How am I gonna make a winner out of doing that? I have to figure that out. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the emails here. The first one I want to go into is from John, and he kind of scolds me a little bit. He says, "Todd, a lot of bloggers have picked up on the Texas PI story, on the Texas PI computer repair story, and reported the sensational aspects of it. So far, I've only heard Buzz Out Loud tell the whole story, and I listen to a lot of tech podcasts. Most bloggers and podcasters, yourself included, have left their listening public with the idea that all computer repair technicians in Texas are now out of business if they don't get a PI license. You also said as much and specifically mentioned Geek Squad. This is not factual. What is factual is that the repair technician performs, what is factual is that if the repair technician performs an investigation by analyzing data, he is then performing a service that is regulated under Texas law." So he's giving me some links to some balanced articles. But the question is, you know, if I'm looking at a hard drive and I'm running it through analysis software that's showing, you know, the hard drive, not the contents, but, you know, those sector scans and stuff, is that analyzing the hard drive? Does that count? I don't know. But anyway, he goes on to say, I think this clearly points out one of the traps that people engage in this new media, which I love and support, by the way, need to be careful of. If the format of a show simply consists of finding interesting stories and re-reporting them, then the show runs the risk of further spreading inaccurate reporting. Where is the value to the listener in simply spreading what someone else has reported? The revalue comes in covering the truth or giving a fresh perspective. I don't suppose there's time to fact-check every article, but a healthy dose of skepticism is probably in order. It really was a stretch to think that the Texas legislature intentionally passed a law putting all computer techs out of business. I mean, really, how would they get their own computers fixed? By a PI? What is he going to do? Grill it under the bright lights? Mr. PC, exactly where were you on the night of the alleged virus attack? I, for one, learned a huge lesson from this that I remember from my podcast. I hope others take the lesson also. Love the show, John. John, you know, you're right. And probably the problem is when I'm reviewing articles, I will see the same article 4 or 5 times, and I will review each one. And usually, people are pretty accurate, and they're usually pretty it doesn't take too long to smell a skunk. You know, if there's something that is not completely right in an article, others call it out. I'm usually able to catch that. So obviously I missed it completely. A lot of other people did, but there is still some gray there. If you really think about it, analyzing, what do? We do when we fix a computer, we analyze. We usually have to be in the registry. We have to be, you know, in the operating system. That's pretty deep in. So only time will tell. And, but anyway, thanks for sending in your email. I definitely appreciate it. Got an email. Oh, actually, that's the promo that was just played. Oh, Tom sent that. I have to check this one. Maybe there was another link. I got an email from Michael. It says, hey, Todd, my family are planning to take a vacation in Hawaii next year, and I wanted to get thoughts of a local on what one may or may not want to do in your fine state. We're thinking about renting a place. What about island hopping? Anything you consider a must-see? Sorry to just ask a open question. It might be easier to answer this on your show. Would I imagine the information being interest to many listeners? Well, I could spend 30 minutes on this. But Oahu is really kind of what I would call the place to come and have fun and yet see a lot of great sights. I'm very biased. I think that everyone should go to the Arizona Memorial, and I think that everyone should go to the USS Missouri. I think those are two must-sees. That's a half a day worth of trekking around to those two particular historical sites. If you're going to go to the Arizona Memorial, get there very early. I mean early. You get there late, you'll be in line until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So get there early. Renting a vacationing place, be honest with you, you're not going to spend a lot of time in the rental spot unless you just want to lounge in Oahu. In Oahu, staying in hotels in Waikiki is fun. You're close to lots of great places to eat. The beach there is beautiful. You can go to the beach straight from the hotel. And then have all the comforts of being in a hotel. If you're going to one of the outer laying islands, they like most islands roll their carpets up at like 6 o'clock at night. So it gets very quiet very early. It's a great place to relax, just to chill, unplug. So a rental home on an island outside of Oahu is definitely a must. Now, I know some Oahu people are probably going to yell at me for saying this way, but really, if you want just to veg, a rental home on an outer island is good. The Big Island is that. It's big. Better spend, if you're going to go to the Big Island, you want to see the volcanoes, it's a vacation in itself. So Maui, Kauai, and Oahu are my top three recommendations. Big Island would be one where you would go spend 3 or 4 days on your own just to stay there and see all the sights there. Hawaii has a lot to offer. Deserts to tropics to snow. Top of Mauna Kea. I mean, it's just, you name it. There's lots of things to see here, and there's lots of tourist books, but those are my top two, but there's still a lot more to see. In Oahu, you can travel around the island during the day. You can go to the Polynesian Culture Center. It's just a huge, huge, huge tourist hub, and you will not be disappointed. You really, really won't. Let me go ahead and move on here. But anyway, I hope that gives you some ideas. Call me sometime. You got my cell number. Best to call me in the evenings, and I'd be more than happy to yak with you on any more ideas that you may need. Got an email from Doug. Say, hey, Todd, a rampant rumor that turned into a confirmed truth is that although the iPhone 3G is coming to Canada, Apple will not be carrying it in their stores. The rumor started when the outrageously expensive data plans were announced, and a petition to lower them was started. Is Apple trying to save face? After all, they would have known that the data plans would have been well in advance. Some more forgiving, and I would say naive, think it's merely a supply issue. Anyway, a friend of mine put it on our blog. I thought I'd pass it on. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Doug. I definitely appreciate that. Got an email from Keith, and he says, hey, we got the volume under control. He basically submitted another submission. Hey, thanks for the 99-year license there, Keith. I definitely appreciate that. I got an email from Yitz. Hey, Yitz, thank you for your post on your blog on the Geek News Central Awareness. I have that link up in the show notes. I got an email from Mark. Say, hey, Todd, I know you're not a big gamer, but only is the bandwidth cap going to hurt people with more than one computer. What about people downloading content from their gaming consoles from Xbox, Live Marketplace, and the PlayStation Store? Demos come out all the time. They are mostly all in high def and usually around over a gig. Not to mention, most of these games have also additional content that you can download. At some point, you're going to be able to stream Netflix directly from the Xbox from the Xbox Live Market. I listen to about 4 gaming podcasts, and not once have I heard them talk about this. The next big thing to come out of gaming is no more having to go to your local game shop and buying a copy of a game you want. You're going to be able to download directly from your console. They already do this with some games, mostly arcade games. So when it comes for this, good luck downloading a 50-gig Blu-ray disc to your PlayStation 3. Come on, people. Thanks, Mark. And, you know, that's absolutely, it's dead on. Hey, Todd, thought this may be a big interest to many users. They want to wait on the latest hot fix from Microsoft. This affected me. So those of you that had Zone Alarm, I quit using Zone Alarm a while ago because I got disgusted with their burgeoning application. But those that have installed latest stuff with Microsoft may have end up with an issue with their system's actually working. It's probably too late, but the Microsoft has issued a patch. But anyway, there's a good link up on it from the Zone Alarm folks. And actually, the webroot, I actually will save this for another show. I have got too many emails yet to get through. Got an email from Stacy. Oh, actually, this is the link to her email post. Thanks, Stacy, again for that. Got an email from Eric, and I actually played his promo. Sorry. Got an email from Paul. Hey, I want to comment about this article we talked about. I think they're making them disable this, and this is to do with the Dell and the stereo mix. I've got an Acer Spire with Windows Vista Premium, and I have to enable Stereo Mix in the Sound Manager. I don't recall how to enable it because I have not had to reinstall Vista for several months. I do know that I will have to enable it in the future and will need to figure out how I did it in the first place. I think they're trying to control the situation, and I'm very unhappy with it, from Paul. So anyway, move on to Holger. He says, hey, Todd, we're getting the 3G iPhone released here in Australia in the next few days. One of the carriers will release his pricing plan, making Sprint's 5-gig plan look bigger than huge. Telstra, the major carrier here in Australia, is releasing an iPhone on an $80 per month plan with a huge, massive, humongous, I can't quite think of the word, yes, 5 megabyte. Yes, that's 5 with an M of data available for download. Holger, we talked about that earlier in the show. Crazy, yeah? All right, got an email from Bobby. Says, hey, Todd, while you seem to be advocating Vista, please note Microsoft Vista's Windows Genuine Advantage of added DRM. While you seem to be advocating Vista, please note Microsoft Vista's Windows Genuine Advantage of added DRM. Try putting home videos on your Vista PC, then burn them to a DVD with Vista. Now the DVD won't play on your DVD player or any other computer. Microsoft just DRM'd your home videos. No, this is not just after missing a checkbox when you tell Vista to burn the DVD. If you upgraded your computer that your videos were on, they're all gone. They're all now gone. Stolen by Microsoft Vista, RIAA, MPAA, etc. You'll never again be able to play them on any other device. I hope you have backups from before you upgraded to Vista. And I don't know about this, Bob. I'm going to have to check this out because this is, I don't understand this. Because I don't believe that if I'm going to burn a DVD of home videos, that it's going to lock me out of those. Oh, by the way, if you like to record online video or audio, check this out. And he's got a link to it. Apparently, drivers from other computers are now being upgraded with the new DRM that disables your computer. I have 4 Vista licenses and don't use any of them. Vista is just too slow and the DRM laden. The machine's being upgraded to Windows XP and Ubuntu Linux. And the new laptops for both MacBooks. Bob in Portland, PS, thanks for a great podcast. Anybody else want to comment on this? I'm going to have to investigate that. And I got a link from Todd on his post to Geek News Central on the review for the show as well. All right, we're way, 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 way long. So everyone have a great weekend. And we'll be back with you, of course, on Tuesday. 619-342-7365 is the voicemail number. geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Until next week, everyone take care. Have a great weekend. Aloha.